Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear graduates of 2007 from St. John, and to the school board, and to all of you friends in Jesus Christ, may the peace of God be with you as we celebrate this day of Pentecost, the birthday of the Christian Church. I would, before reading the text itself, like to go back and reflect just briefly upon a small portion of the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 11, which is the story of the Tower of Babel. These words, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.'" And then we read in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. "They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God.'" This is in our text. Please be seated. Happy birthday, dear Church of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Pentecost ranks right up there with the Christmas and Easter as one of the three great high festivals of the church year? And I know it doesn't usually feel that way. It doesn't usually come with the celebration that we do at Christmas and Easter. But this is the day upon which the Holy Spirit began gathering together the Church of Jesus Christ. And on that first day in the book of Acts, we read, thousands of people came to the knowledge of their salvation in Christ and were baptized into Him. People of every language and nationality and of every skin color, without discrimination, because God loves them all. As my brother-in-law, you'd like to point out, Pentecost is the undoing of the curse that was pronounced way back in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. That time in history, at the time of the Tower of Babel, were heady days for the human race. After the great flood of Noah, the human race was now rebounding, and they were gaining in strength and in numbers. And they were developing this building technology that was going to revolutionize the construction industry. Kiln-fired bricks, as strong as rock, but uniform in shape and square. And they shared a common language, which made working together very, very easy. Until they must have thought indeed that they were the masters of their own fate. They could do anything they wanted, and nothing could stop them. Why? They were practically gods, they must have thought of themselves. And they wanted to make a name for themselves. And they believed that they had the world by the tail. The problem is that when people make gods out of themselves, they usually unite around causes that are contrary to the will of the true God. And in the case of the people in Genesis chapter 11, they simply decided that they did not like God's plan for humanity. Because the Lord had said to Noah, and Noah had no doubt passed this down through the generations, the Lord said to Noah, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Fill the earth, that means spread out. Disperse. Get out there. But they decided that they wanted to hang together. And so they united around that cause. And they decided to use their new building technology to build this city and this massive tower that would be powerful symbols of unification and would hold them together as a people. And they could make a name for themselves in that way. They had thrown down the gauntlet, you see. They had directly challenged God's plan for them. You might say that they were anti-dispersionists. For the Lord had said, you disperse, you go out and you fill the earth. But they said, we'll hang together. Thank you very much. And so once again, we see the strife, the enmity between a holy God and a human race that has fallen into rebellion. You know the outcome of the story, I think. God was not about to let his plan for this world to be populated to be thwarted by a bunch of belligerent bricklayers. And so the scripture says God confused languages. And all of a sudden, they couldn't understand each other anymore as they were trying to build this massive tower in this city. And the construction came to a grinding halt. And they finally had to give up on their anti-dispersionist strategies. And they were forced to disperse anyway and to populate all the world. And as that human family began to disperse around the world, now speaking different languages, they no longer had a common cause. Each language group developed its own loyalties. Loyalties became nations. Nations developed their own interests. And they began to clash with each other. And the rest, as we say, is history. And for that reason, we must have weekends such as this, when we celebrate those who gave their lives in defense of their country. But I'm not blaming God, mind you, for the problems of the world, as though the confusion of languages is the cause of evil and strife in our world. It's not. Heaven knows. Even amongst those who speak the same language, there is all kinds of strife and envy and contention. Did you catch that whole fracas this past week between Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth Hasselbeck? And they speak the same language. The problem is not the confusion of languages. The real problem, once again, is the sinful pride of man who wants to be his own God, who wants to do things his way, who wants to unite around his causes. We are no different, are we? Because we're still uniting around causes that are contrary to the will of God on scales large and small. On a large scale, you see an entire country, like in our history, Germany, uniting around Adolf Hitler. Or states that sponsor terrorism and mass murder. On a medium scale, you'll see organizations like the National Organization of Women and other organizations who fight to keep legal the abortion of innocents in our land. You see a gay pride parade and the united effort of so many people to redefine God's institution of marriage. And then on a much smaller scale, just go out to the playground and watch the children. They form cliques. And if you're not in their clique, you get treated with terrible cruelty. Members of families take up sides against each other in their strife and fighting and contention. Churches split into factions, and there's infighting and arguing. And it even goes right down to something as simple as people becoming slaves to trends, just because it's a trend. After all, we want to do what everybody else is doing. We all want to unite together around the same cause. Oh, I don't know, like going to a popular R-rated movie, for example, without ever considering God's will that we fill our minds only with those things that are pure and lovely and noble and praiseworthy. The confusion of languages was not the cause of evil in this world. Evil is the cause of all of the confusion, the evil that is in us. And we are forever forming these alliances in our causes that are contrary to the will of God, and the confusion that we reap is our own fault. But the wonder of Pentecost is that God, in his infinite mercy and love, has finally given us a cause around which we can unite and gather, and a cause that is well-pleasing to him, because this is the cause of his own beloved Son. This is the cause of his holy gospel. And by that gospel proclaimed, clear and powerful, the Holy Spirit gathers people together into the church. As we say in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Spirit calls and gathers the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. That incident at the Tower of Babel led to the scattering of people all over the world. But now at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is reversing things. And He's bringing them together again. He is rallying them around the one and only cause that gives eternal salvation and hope to all who take it up in faith. And so there stands Peter. Peter, mind you, the one who had been such a coward. And now he stands up in front of thousands of people and he proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ in clear and powerful terms. He minces no words when he tells these people, "You crucified the Son of God." But he also does not waste any time when they repent to tell them of God's amazing grace and of the forgiveness that they have through the very death of Christ that they had plotted and they had gathered around as a cause. The wonder of it. The wonder of it. God took the cause of people who were hell-bent on the destruction of Jesus Christ, and He turned it into the cause of our salvation. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's word, clear and powerful. It's the cause that unites all of us to God and to each other. Graduates, the word to you. You're going to be coming to a time of life when there are all kinds of people who are going to try to get you to join their causes. And I mind you, I'm not saying that all causes are evil, not at all. For instance, you might go to high school and you might join the marching band. The cause is to make music, and that's a great thing. Or you might join a sports team and you're going to compete with the idea of winning and beating another team. And well, that's okay too, because you're developing skills and aptitudes that are going to be a blessing to you through life and will be a blessing to others. And that can be used in service to Jesus Christ. Like a team that I know about recently who took up the cause of feeding the hungry in the name of Jesus Christ. And he was so blessed to be a blessing to other people. But then again, I read about another teenager recently who took up the cause of an urban gang and very shortly after ended up dead in gun violence. There will be many, many causes, like the causes of those belligerent bricklayers in Genesis 11, that will be contrary to the will of God. It might be something as simple as joining a clique of the popular kids at school who scorn everybody else and look down their noses and try to make them feel badly because they don't belong to the clique. Or it might be the pressure of your peers to conform to their ideas about drugs and sexuality and entertainment and partying. You will be tempted, like all of us, by the riches of this world to join the cause of prosperity. Now there's a cause we can all get around, huh? Because everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses. Everybody wants the nicest of stuff. As if the accumulation of stuff is the greatest cause of life. All of these things and so many other causes represent, and you must be aware of this, they represent the one great cause of Satan's kingdom, and that is the destruction of everything that God loves and of everyone that God loves. He is bent on your destruction, if only he can get you in some way to join his cause. But the Lord is your light and your salvation. That was our theme verse this year. The Lord is your light and your salvation. And His cause is your life, your joy in life, your hope and your peace in life. His cause is to give you peace in all of life's struggles. His cause is to give you a hopeful future. His cause is to give you a glorious destiny. Don't forget, graduates, that Christ and His gospel are and always will be the greatest cause around which you can rally. Like that little child this morning, Lillian, was gathered into the Church of Christ. The Holy Spirit has gathered you by baptism and by the preaching of the gospel, clear and powerful, gathered you into the church and has given you now the cause that is the most worthwhile of all causes. So, graduates, whatever other causes you may join in your life, never, ever neglect this cause to which the Holy Spirit has gathered you, the cause of Jesus Christ and of His kingdom and of your own salvation. In the precious name, then, of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.